We're starting a new series of occasional stories we're calling falsehoods. Beliefs, narratives that society and experts assume to be true, sometimes for centuries, until they're shown to be wrong. Today, we visit a longtime false assumption in medicine. Yeah, we're talking pandemics, and how the establishment got cholera so wrong in the 19th century, and how experts made that same mistake with COVID-19. So our medical mystery starts in London, 1854.
Well, I'm Sandra Hempel, and I'm a journalist and an author, and my book is called The Strange Case of the Broad Street Pump.
I'm with Sandra Hempel in a busy, cramped part of London called Soho.
It's really a maze of very small, narrow streets and little dead ends, and this is where the worst cholera epidemic broke out in 1854.
We're outside a pub on Broad Street, and beer is going to turn out to be a key clue here, so keep that in mind.
I understand we are below the site of the Lewis family house. Yeah, can you talk about that family and, I guess, that first case?
Yes, now the Lewises consisted of Thomas, who was a policeman, and his wife Sarah, and they had three children. The new baby became very ill and died. The doctor wrote on the death certificate, diarrhea and exhaustion.
She died quickly. And in a day or two, people started dying up and down this Broad Street neighborhood.
Hopkins Street, 15 deaths. Cambridge Street, 16. Pulteney Court, 24 people died. But nothing actually could compare with Broad Street. Six deaths at number three, four at number four, three at number five. House by house by house. I mean, one particularly poignant story, I think, were the two deaths at number seven, who were a mother and daughter, and they were both upholsterers by trade. The mother was taken ill at her work, and the daughter was taken ill on the way home from her mother's funeral, which was so, so particularly sad, I think.
And it happened so quickly, yeah? That is, diagnosis, say, on Monday, somebody was dead by Tuesday. I mean, that quickly?
That's right. Dead within hours. Some children went to bed with two parents and woke up to find they were orphans.
So why? How did cholera spread so fast? Well, here's where the falsehood, the lie, if you like, comes in. You know how COVID-19 spreads through the air? You inhale the virus, say, in a busy restaurant, and you get sick. Well, that is how the establishment assumed cholera spread, specifically through putrid, stinky air. They called it miasma.
So they thought the cholera poison, as they referred to it, was actually contained in the bad smell itself.
And that was pretty much around the world, is that right? The dominant belief?
Yes, absolutely. It went back to the ancient Greeks when people were talking then about bad smells coming off the rivers.
And back then, in and around Broad Street, the place reeked. Take the outhouses, also called cesspits.
When it rained really hard, the cesspits would overflow up into the streets and also into the cellars of people's houses, too.
Ew. And then there were the slaughterhouses.
The smell from those animals, the smell from the dung was absolutely dreadful. And then, of course, the actual slaughtering process was horrible too, and you would have the blood running down the gutters.
I have to ask, when you were researching this and writing your book, poop, excrement, at a certain point, did you say, I'm glad this chapter is over?
I did, and also when I was writing about the symptoms of cholera, doctors would describe it as watery evacuations because people would get this violent diarrhea. When my commissioning editor at my publishers read that chapter, she wrote in the margin, that's enough, watery evacuations.
Enter our protagonist, a rebel doctor named John Snow. Snow had long wondered if cholera spread not through the air, but through infected water. And for more on him, I meet Dr. Rosalind Stanwell Smith for an outdoor lunch in the neighborhood. And she's with, no kidding, the John Snow Society.
I'm a retired epidemiologist. I'm actually an expert on water, which fits in with the Snow story.
Dr. Stanwell Smith says for years, John Snow argued that water carries disease. And the establishment, including the journal The Lancet, it laughed.
If you said, like the editor of The Lancet, I think Dr. Snow's theories are rubbish and he should fall down a sewer with them, or gully, as he put it, People just laughed and said, yeah.
But Dr. John Snow was a rather unyielding bloke. He was a strict alcohol prohibitionist and a rare vegetarian back in 1854. And he walked over to Broad Street. He lived in the neighborhood. And he knocked on doors.
Snow and his medical colleagues were able just to go and interview people. No permission needed. They were able to go and trace the deaths.
He made a map of who died where, which no one did at the time. And guess what?
The pump to which most cases lived near was the Broad Street pump.
They all got their water from the pump on Broad Street, right below the house where baby girl Lewis first died. The assumption is that her dirty diapers and all those watery evacuations infected the well. But John Snow didn't stop there. He also asked who on the street hadn't died. Remember? Beer?
The brewery is spared, and they don't know why, because they've got a well.
The workers at the brewery didn't use the Broad Street pump. They had their own well.
And the wells at breweries are very well protected because they want the water to be clean.
And I'm told these men were mostly drinking beer anyway. And John Snow's medical sleuthing of who got sick and didn't is what Stanwell Smith calls early epidemiology. It's asking the brewery question, the exception to the rule.
Snow is clever enough to know that it's the dog that doesn't bite, to quote Sherlock Holmes. It's the outlying case, as we now say in epidemiology, that can give you everything.
So Snow took his data and his map to the local authorities.
And he says, I'm sure it's the water. Take the handle off the pump. If we can imagine, he's one of those very, very clever, annoying people. So he was well known and respected. And so they sort of say, well, we'll give it a go.
And after they gave it a go, cholera cases fell. Now, to complicate things, they were already heading down. But the point is, John Snow's waterborne theory began to get more and more supporting evidence. Still, the medical big shots didn't embrace it till decades after he died.
And it's very depressing, because sometimes when I'm teaching and I say, public health is very slow. Don't expect anything to happen in your lifetime. And even if it does, they probably will have forgotten your name.
The question is, why did this false theory of disease, that it spread through stinky air, persist for centuries, even when the evidence went otherwise? Well, it turns out, in all walks of life, experts and we regular people rely on what are called mental models, conventional wisdom narratives. So says Trish Greenhouse. She's professor of health sciences at Oxford.
This mental model shaped the kind of data that scientists were collecting at the time. So because they thought it was spread through the air, the data they collected was all related to the air.
Greenhouse says mental models often are helpful. We need them to frame what we think is going on, to make sense of all that confusing info and data around us.
We can't think of everything. We can't keep all the balls in the air, all the plates spinning. And so we reduce things to a few key concepts that we really can get our heads around. It's partly that. But it is also that once you've built your reputation around a particular way of looking at the world, there are very, very few scholars who've been able to say, hey, I got all that wrong for the last 20 years. And actually, the paradigm-shifting fields of science often come from people who are new to the discipline.
Now, this 19th-century cholera parable has a modern rerun. Greenhouse says a stubborn misperception also happened with COVID. Yeah, in the early days of the coronavirus, the World Health Organization told us it was spread by big droplets on dirty surfaces instead of aerosols in the air.
One of the questions that they were not particularly keen to ask was about the efficacy of masks and face coverings. They were much more interested in droplet infection, which they saw as being on people's hands. And so we had this big hand washing campaign, people like Gloria Gaynor getting up on YouTube.
You might remember, keep scrubbing till the song ends. Because the WHO appeared sure, Greenhouse says, that that was the answer.
They declared a false level of certainty at the beginning of the pandemic. They were absolutely sure that COVID is not airborne. And they actually called it fake news on the 28th of March, 2020. That tweet is still available. Of course, it wasn't fake news. They were so sure of their mental model that they put this out.
It took the WHO 2 years to state clearly that COVID is airborne, which makes you wonder, Have we learned anything since 1854, when the pros back then got cholera wrong?
They didn't screw up cholera any worse than we've screwed up COVID, if you like. You know, we are all prisoners of our mental models. And scientists in 2 centuries' time are still going to be prisoners of their mental models too.
Ouch, that's a sobering assessment. That is, unless the experts of tomorrow challenge their own assumptions and ask the rebellious outlier questions. You know, the brewery question. In a statement to the journal Nature, the World Health Organization defended its actions in the pandemic. A spokesperson said WHO has sought the expertise of engineers, architects, and aerobiologists, along with expertise in infectious diseases and other fields since the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic.